You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. Words fail us in moments like the one we're experiencing right now. Hospitals at capacity, the eerie quiet of most streets and public spaces, and wave upon wave of grief experienced in solitude. We turn to the written word to get us through. With us now is poet Anne-Marie Ohman. She's the author of several collections of poetry, including Lake Michigan Mermaid, A Tale in Poems. She teaches creative writing at Interlochen College of Creative Arts. We spoke with her from her home near Empire. Anne-Marie, welcome.
Thank you. I'm enjoying hearing your voice. Appreciate it.
How are you doing?
We're doing well. We're surviving, and I think in probably the best way possible. We're fortunate to live in a more rural area, so we have a lot of the natural world around us, and that's a comfort. And I realize that's also a privilege. I'm grateful for that.
I've heard so many writers in so many different parts of America joking in the past few days about the fact that the world is finally catching up with them. They've been practicing physical distancing for years because of how they work. Does this feel different for you?
Oh, sure. Because even though I agree that introversion is really part of what we practice, because we have to have that alone time, we don't ever write outside of community. Everything in the world is touching us in some way, I think. We are all part of various symbiotic communities, even though the work that we do alone is in isolation. So that part is different. I'm cut off from a number of literary communities, at least physically. So there's an entirely different attention and awareness that I'm experiencing right now.
You've been writing some poems that are specific to this moment and posting them on your blog, which is kind of the way everyone's publishing at the moment. Would you read one for us?
Oh, sure. I'll read one of the very earliest ones that I wrote, and it's called Quarantine's Touch. It's about that experience of realizing that we can't be in close proximity anymore and just what that feels like. There's a reference here also to Interlochen in this. I think you'll see it. Quarantine's Touch. I walked the empty road to a neighbor's house. I hesitated to knock. I'd have to touch the door. But then I did. She came. Her hair mussed, smiled, and put her palm against the glass, and I put mine against the cool on my side. Did it warm? I'm not sure. And I asked what she needed, and she said she was good. Doing fine, though her eyes were red. And like I said, her hair was not combed, nor was mine, so what's the deal? Then she said she was isolating herself because she'd taught straight to the end, had been in their presence all the way until they had left her room to board their planes, and I nodded. Asked if I could bring her wood for the stove. She smiled. Yes, that would be good. And kindling if I had extra. I did. And as I turned away, I saw our warming print. The glass impressed with mist condensed. The wrinkled ring where calluses had rested. And two, the sea through hollow at the center, where our palms had faced each other's, but had not flattened against that border. There, no smudge of touch, and I could see where our first language should have been.
That's Quarantine's Touch, read by the poet who wrote it, Anne-Marie Ohman. Anne-Marie, small physical details are as natural to poets as a chef's knife is to a home cook.
Yes.
All the details of the handprints on the glass of the door, do those details take on different qualities now as the details that we have in every day are down to a smaller number of interactions?
Oh, I think so. It feels like everything is a little elevated now, like there's a super light on it. I find myself feeling and experiencing things almost metaphorically immediately. There's more to everything that we're doing than just the simplicity or the ordinariness that we forget most of the time. there's that heightened, highlighted feeling elevated in a way, even in ordinary language.
I gathered from reading this poem that this is someone else who teaches at Interlaken,
yes,
who's keeping isolated because she was with her students up until the time when they left.
And it's an international school, so, you know, there was that. They're all home now.
You sometimes travel for work. Do you find yourself missing that right now?
Oh, yes. I find a longing for proximity that we can't suffice with Zoom or Skype or any of those, FaceTime. It is not the same as being in the presence of somebody where you can actually touch and feel what they're experiencing and what you're experiencing with them.
Do you find that you're inhabiting your home in a different way?
Well, the quiet is something I think that we hadn't realized we would enjoy. It was a surprise in a certain way because we're social people, as many of us are, and we like being out and about. And the quiet has an enrichment that's happening that I think we're sensitizing to and hearing more into it than we thought we would. It's a deeper sort of experience than I expected, and I hate to say this because I know so many people are not in this situation and they're suffering, but it's something I'm embracing right now. I'm trying to get inside of it.
You wrote another poem that was about a very specific part of your home that you've been spending time with. Will you read it for us?
Oh, you mean the garden?
Yes.
Oh, sure. And that is new. And we call it the novel. So hang on just a second here.
Sure.
This one is called Vaccine. Once decided and without any idea of cost, we figured out first how we'd break the sod, to dig that dead orchard's turf. We figured it would take some work and we'd have no help. We figured out an old school strategy planned first for deer. The fence had foiled us last time we tried. Now a protective picket pocked with posts every 8 feet, heavy mesh of wire, a gate, and buried trickle hose with buckets standing at attention on the north. Then troweling the roots and building beds, we could even add compost left from years' abandonment, a rotted pile never used, manure, some organic dirt, topsoil from our woods. Is it this that led us out of viral funk? Just the idea of an attempt has, for 3 days, kept at bay the mind's disease, that noise. A garden is not much, but it changes the way the light comes on. Or maybe it's the spring. There is that. But in the end, just today, we walk the field, rake the weeds away, set the stakes, tape a reckless boundary, get our hands so dirty we have to scrub even harder than we did before. And perhaps that, too, is protecting us.
That's Vaccine.
Yes.
As read by Anne-Marie Oman, poet who lives near Empire, if you're just joining us. You know, so often, Anne-Marie, we look to yards and gardens to remind us of change and the turning of the seasons. But listening to that, it feels like they can also mark for us some of the things that endure.
That endure, indeed. And I think that's part of why so many of us are turning to gardens right now, is it's a way to look in a positive way, to look at a future. And I know the simple thing is, well, we're growing food, but it's also an investment in a whole process of vitality and life and trying to find ways to keep that kindled in all of us.
Yeah. Do you find yourself much reflecting lately on how fast life has changed?
Oh, deeply, deeply. That's so much of why I had to write these, is I wanted to, in some way, capture the moment, to be in the presence of this moment as much as I could. Some writers don't find it easy to write at times like this. And if you can manage to be just present to it and hold it so that the memories sear in a little bit, then it becomes fodder for later. But whenever you write, it's the now that I think we have to pay attention to. And that's been part of my reflection. I've been doing a lot more of that even as I continue my work.
How are you coping with how fast things have changed?
Well, the garden was one thing. I have, fortunately, again, the time right now to take walks, to be outside a little bit more, to listen deeply to what's happening in the air. The birds are returning. They don't know we're having a pandemic. The warblers are coming back through here, and there's an awful lot of vitality happening in our wetlands. The peepers are coming back. And so those are small things that I think not everybody has a kinship to, or maybe they just don't have that available. But that is all bringing home the necessity we have to pay attention to Earth, I think, and what's being said in this time.
Speaking of which, I think you have one more poem for us. Do you want to set this up before we hear it?
Yes, this is about one of those walks, and it's me being present to, or trying to be present to, something that I saw that I don't know that I normally would have seen if I weren't trying to be in this moment a little bit more. And this is called Something Rising, and I also hope it's a lesson for all of us about what the world is doing. Something Rising. Walking the old road again, I heard them, chortling high as they flew, that chuckle that sounds like family gossip, though of course it's not. They appeared below rain-stained clouds, a dozen sandhill cranes against the sky, together in a flock. Then to the north, another sound, like theirs, but off, higher, both in sky and pitch, and if I were to assign it tone, frantic would be it. Scanning skies behind the flock, there, too high, a crane, almost lost in cloud, alone, struggling to keep up, but falling behind. And from it came that call. Here we are, I thought, nature's cruelty, survival of the fittest, social Darwinism, etc., we know the drill. Then the pull of sadness, companion of my day. And so I was about to turn away when a third cry sounded through the mist, a lower honk, insistent and short, and there I saw one from the many break, leave the now distant gang, arc back toward that meandering one, calling in return, galumph, galumph, as in, come on, come on, and with a final cry, short, desperate, and high, the lost one found its guide. I stood in the empty road, brain stunned by what I'd seen, some animal instinct rising, to save, after all, the least of us.
I think anyone who's spending time with dogs and cats can testify how much animals can be a lens on this moment, but I confess I hadn't thought about birds.
Well, it was remarkable. They are taking care of each other in their own way, too. And yes, I think our animal companions are a huge part of the comfort we can keep right now. It's amazing how we make connection. You know, even if we can't see each other, we can hold close our animal friends and books and letters and all of those things that serve as proxy.
Well, if that's not a sign of hope, I think it'll do till one gets here.
I agree. I hope that's true.
Anne-Marie Oman, thank you so much.
Thank you, April, for having me.
Anne-Marie Oman coming to us from her home in Leelanau County. She teaches creative writing at Interlochen, and you can read these and other poems on her personal website.